We're your weather girls.
And do we have some poorly written fiction for you.
You better listen. Here's some stuff to look forward to this episode.
Fake British accent!
We're all in this together.
And so much more. Stay tuned.
We're recording. We're officially recording. Welcome to a very special episode 8 of It's Probably Raining Men.
If you hear the ambient noise, it's camping sounds.
Yeah, we are back at this place where this whole thing originated. Exactly 9 years ago, we were little children. We came up with a very bad idea and it became a very bad book. And now we're here with a bunch of friends and family, reading it together.
We've asked them all to join in the tradition of picking a fake name because the internet can't really know our identities.
Yep.
Except for Facebook and all the other social medias.
Yeah,
but,
yep.
So we're going to go around, all say our names, and then we'll begin.
Yeah. To my left.
I am Hans von Wiedermann.
Maria Brown.
I'm Bella Brown.
Jorge Gomez.
I'm Alexa Love, you know me.
I'm Sophia Love.
Sarah Gomez.
And we're back to the start of the circle with good old Claudia Rush. All right, so we hit about the halfway point of our 281-page book. Granted, they're very small pages, but we're about at the halfway mark, so we thought it would be also a good idea to get everyone here up to speed and sort of recap where we've been so far.
So the title of this novel, if you
masterpiece,
call it that,
this masterpiece,
is It's Raining Men. Okay, so the premise is that we have this group of girls, we have this group of guys, mismatched, kooky, whatever it may be, and they sort of meet each other at some point. They live in New York City, peak youth spot, and there's just a lot of unexplained kind of plot points, but we're going to try to go over some of them for each of our characters.
Yes. So our girl characters, they're named Jill, Jenna, Kieran, and Brooke. Jill has a boyfriend whose name is Mark, and she's not crazy about him. She does not care about him at all. But in our last chapter, he just proposed to her and she said yes. So drama.
But then we also found out that he was in some kind of car accident and now has amnesia.
He has no memory of her whatsoever. So she, thinking it'd be funny.
She can leave him.
She could, but he also gave her a very expensive 24-carat diamond ring.
So he's rich.
So he's rich. So we know why she said yes, even though she doesn't love him. So he's in the hospital now. She thought it would be very funny if she basically, tested his amnesia to see if he was, lying to his doctors or not. So she told him that her name was Gertrude. So now this poor man who just was in, a life-threatening car accident. He also has amnesia and now also thinks that her name is Gertrude. So, crazy.
We also have Brooke. She's been labeled as the rich one in the friend group. She was one of the three members of our cast who was on Cash Cab in one of our episodes.
Yep. Yep, that happened.
In New York.
In New York City.
On the long, long drive from her apartment to, Central Park. No, yep. Somewhere else.
Oh, anyway. They also have a thing where we just, mention it one time, and I don't really know why. There's no explanation to it. Basically, they each take a day off of work and, visit each other's workplaces, even though, one, they intern at that place, so, they literally haven't been there that long. Second of all, what? Who does that? What kind of... Anyway.
We also have...
Is this, a weekly thing?
Monthly. Just monthly. It's okay.
Their bosses, know all of the friends. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
We also have Jenna.
Yeah.
She works at a daycare.
No, Jenna's the journalist.
No, Brooke works at the YMCA.
No, Brooke works at...
Sorry, you guys wrote this?
wait, Brooke? Brooke is a fashion designer. No, she's a photographer. She's a budding fashion photographer. She doesn't have much of a personality because we haven't really explored her very much. But anyway, she's rich.
Jenna works at a museum.
No, Jenna's working at the New York Times. What? You're a fake
Jill,
fan.
Jill works at the
yes.
Jill works at the museum.
Jill works
she does
the museum.
Tours.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Jenna is a journalist at the New York Times. She's... We also don't really know much about her.
She just wrote an article about the G20 summit.
Yeah.
So, that day.
It was groundbreaking journalism right there. And then the last one is Kieran. She's like vegetarian and like super eco-friendly, and she works at the YMCA.
Foreshadowing your future.
We'll see. But yeah, that's her. And then, so there's the four girls, and then we have five guys, which is drama. Like,
everybody,
how are they gonna pair up?
Ooh.
The five boys, I probably can't remember their names if I tried. Okay, but let's try. Let's
Felipe.
Go. Felipe.
Sportsy.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
Tough
leader.
Guy. Yes. Justin, he's quiet and bookish. And he wasn't there at their last meeting, so the girls and the guys like met up for ice cream or something. But Justin wasn't there, so we were like, what happened to Justin?
Will he come back?
Who knows?
Sure.
I don't know.
Then we have Chris Martin.
Chris Martin.
Those
they're basically the same person. They just met, but they're like, they're
isn't that the singer from Coldplay?
Yeah, literally.
It's Chris with a K.
Chris with a K. Is that four? Well, who's the fifth one? Martin? Oh, his uncle owns a fancy restaurant.
Pish Posh.
Pish Posh.
Where they've had a date.
Yes.
Without Justin.
Yes.
And Chris and Martin had a date?
No, they had like a giant quadruple date.
Like Jill, fiance to Mark, who's in a coma / has amnesia,
yep,
went on a date with these guys. We don't really understand what's happening.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
There's one more.
The boys?
Justin, Felipe, Chris Martin. Jack Beanley.
Jack Beanley.
Who's gonna pair up with Jill.
Yeah. We kind of foreshadowed that with the call of Jack and Jill. Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that the vibe? Okay.
Jill, and of course, there's the one with Mark.
Yes, and there's Mark too.
Jack Beanley, so it's like the beanstalk?
Yeah.
Which one are you using, Jack and Jill?
Both, all.
All of the above. It's very clever naming, as you can see. We definitely thought a lot about everything. So chapter 18, where do we leave off?
So I can read us the last little bit. Basically, the guys and the girls went on this date. Then they went back to one of the guys' apartments, and they were all hanging out and somewhat making out, which is not good.
It was a very cringy like makeout scene that we wrote as 12-year-olds, and it's just disgusting. Like, we're just like continuously cringed the whole time. It just hurt. It physically hurt.
Brooke gets mad because one of the girls starts kissing the guy that she's into, which...
Yeah.
Dramatic, obviously. So she goes to the bathroom to cry. And then Chris comes in and sort of comforts her. And here's where we can begin. May I have this dance? He said in a cheesy voice. Brooke couldn't help but giggle at his facial expressions, the song, and the room they were in.
Oh, the song is The Beatles.
All You Need Is Love.
All You Need Is Love.
However, she nodded and took his hand. She stood up and pulled Chris closer to her. The two swayed to the sound of John Lennon's to John Lennon's voice. When the song was finished, Brooke wiped her eyes and smiled. Thank you, Chris, you're the best, she said, and kissed him softly on the lips. Just then, there was a loud banging on the door. Brooke didn't acknowledge it until Jill's voice came from the other side. Mark disappeared from the hospital, she yelled. Oh my gosh, cliffhanger.
So there's so we left it on a pretty juicy cliffhanger. And I vaguely remember this like next little part also because I've like glanced like the first page of like what's coming up, so I know like drama ensues. This is a very good chapter to read together, I think.
So how about we pass the script to the person on our left and they kind of read together for a little bit?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can try that. So yeah, we have two scripts. They'll be passed around in a circle. Everybody do your best to do a dramatic reading. Mark has a southern accent. So have fun with that. Also, yeah, everyone else is just normal, I guess. Yeah, nothing exciting. Okay.
Wait, is the date like the date in the book or the date you actually wrote it on?
The date.
Oh, also, yeah, we also have to know
July 2nd.
We're really bad at doing dates and timestamps and whatnot. Like, they just don't make any
sense.
It'll
be like 5 a.m. and they're like, the sun is setting.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
The sun is setting where? Oh, to the west.
Yeah. So,
try your best.
Yeah.
Go.
Sophia
first.
I had to pull up my reference. Okay.
He just disappeared out of thin air. One minute he was here, watching Dora, and the next minute he was gone. The weird thing is, the patient next door, Roger Griffin, also disappeared around the same time. Mr. Griffin has been arrested several times for kidnap, so we suspect he persuaded Mark to come with him, saying he was his father or something, said Mark's doctor.
It seemed almost funny to Chris. Mark, I am your father, he whispered to Felipe in the two stifled laughs. Jenna nudged them in the ribs, but she was also stifling giggles.
So Mark has just disappeared with amnesia with a previous, you know, kidnapper.
Yep.
And they're cracking jokes.
Yep, as you do.
No. Why him? And he didn't remember anything. I feel so bad. Jill melted down. Jack put his arm around her and tried to comfort her. It's okay. They'll find him.
And what if they don't? What if Roger's some kind of psychopathic maniac that goes around killing 20-year-olds? She shrieked. You're not helping, she cried. Jack backed away and bit his fingernails. It was a habit he never got over, but now only does when he is angry or scared. Now he was a mixture of both, as Jill could not get over the fact that she did not love Mark. He just could not get sometimes why she still cared so much about him, even though he was so boring. At least that was as much as he could get out of her best friend.
Ooh! Oh my god, wait. So this guy is like, he's like, oh my god, this woman that I guess I'm in love with, she's going through this like traumatic experience. Like her fiance just like was kidnapped from the hospital. But all I'm thinking of is, why is she still with him? Like what? Like why doesn't she want to date me? Yeah. Why doesn't she love me? Anyway.
Do you want to pass it on to the next person?
Sure. Yeah. Fingernails. Yeah.
We promise we will contact you as soon as we get some weed, the doctor started.
Do you have any idea where this Roger could have taken my fiance? Jill yelled as loudly as she could through her sobs.
No idea, ma'am. We have intelligence that Roger works for a truck driving company and was scheduled to deliver something to Bishop, California from a generous donation from Miss Marlett over here. Nodded at Brooke, who shrugged her shoulders. You never know, she mouthed to Jenna.
What?
Brooke's donating to the intelligence
agency. Hey, CIA.
Your hospital.
She's really rich.
No need to call the police about a kidnapping.
Yeah. Call the CIA.
Call the doctor.
Straight to the top.
We hired a couple of detectives to find your fiance. Don't worry, we got this under control. And we assure you, nothing has ever happened of this sort at this hospital.
Yeah, so we're very prepared to deal with this kind of situation. Yeah,
sorry. You certainly need new security now, don't you? Jill asked very sarcastically.
Thank you, doctor. We appreciate everything you're doing, Martin said, grabbing Jill by the shoulders and dragging her out of the room.
Wait, why is the doctor talking to and not the police?
Yeah, I know.
But isn't it enough?
This doctor is part of the CIA.
Jill screamed just as Jack put a hand over her mouth and dragged her out of the room.
Whoa, is he kidnapping her too? What? So he like grabs her by the shoulders, like yanks her back. And then,
I just imagine like her voice like fading away as he yanks her out of the room. Not good. Okay, we have our famous chapter break.
Mid-chapter break.
That's it? That's already mid-chapter?
Yeah. Oh. it's like first, I don't know, one over N of a chapter. Okay. You want to start?
Thank you for that.
Later that night, the boys met at Martin's condo to discuss the evening's events.
Dude, could the crazy truck driver guy be our Roger? The one that tried to, like, kill us? Martin spat out. Okay, pause. Sorry. So the boys, in like chapter maybe like 3 or 4, the boys were like taken from where they were and dropped out of the sky into like a national park, not unlike this one over here. So they were trying to get out. They didn't know what was going on. They were like completely lost, and they came across some guy camping in the woods, and they were like, oh, he's probably not a psychopathic murderer. So they go to him for help, and he like drives them out to the park. But he like stops his car like as they're like leaving the park.
He's like, I gotta go relieve myself.
Yeah. So he goes, he like does his business in the forest and comes back with a gun. And he's like, I'm gonna kill you.
Where is he hiding his gun?
I don't know. But yeah, so then he basically tried to kill them, but somehow through their like stroke of genius of like,
they like jumped out of his truck and ducked. So his shots like went over their head.
Yeah. He's genius. Genius
idea. And
then
they ran, and then he was like, dang it, and like, left the park.
Those darn kids!
That's what you do when you attempt murder.
Yeah, so that's...
But his name is Roger, but we don't know if it's the same Roger.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't
know.
I don't know, guys. I mean, what are the chances of him really being at the same hospital as Mark? Justin asked.
on Martin's U phone, and they had connected to iTalk, and we're talking to Dustin.
Yeah, we also were really afraid of, like, getting, like, copyright claims.
So this is gonna blow up, right?
Yeah, of course!
They have blueberry phones.
Yeah, they have blueberry phones and U phones and, yeah, just, like, other ridiculous, slightly off-brand
Not
things.
Not Facebook, it's, like...
It's like Victoria's.
Face?
But there's some
Yeah. Phones. It wasn't Facebook, it was something stupid like that. I don't know.
Likebook.
Okay. Have you tried running his name through the internet? Capital I. Chris asked.
I'm sorry. I don't believe we've met, said Justin jokingly. Jokingly?
Sorry I insulted you, nerd brain. So what came up?
Random MySpace page, dating website thing, and bingo, a police record.
What? They post those online?
They aren't supposed to. No, wait, that's the news.
Wait, he confused a police record for just like a news article.
We're just trying to create some drama here.
Yeah. So what does it say?
On June 3rd, 20-year-old Indiana University student Lizzie Max, a native of New York, blah blah, and state and FBI investigators have begun searching through the garbage dump in Pimento for evidence in the Lizzie Max case. There they found the home of Roger Griffin.
Wait, they were searching through the garbage dump and they found his house? He just lives
away. Get it.
Depends on where the garbage dump is.
Yeah. Yep, that's him.
Definitely.
But what if he tries to kill Mark? Like, he tried to kill us. Mark isn't even his regular self.
We have to do something about it. We have to try to find him, Jack explained. But what if he's already dead? That would crush Jill.
But have you ever driven in across the country? Flying would be too expensive, but we still don't know where to look, said Justin over the U phone.
Yeah, sorry guys, I have to go. Got a big day ahead of me, said Martin, standing up to leave the apartment. Hey, can I have a glass of water?
Sure, help yourself. Cups are in the cupboard above the sink. Chris answered.
I've been meaning to talk to you guys about the, you know, thing, Jack stammered.
Thing? Felipe asked, looking puzzled.
Got a touch.
At the end of this page here.
The whole falling out of the sky thing, have you guys been feeling, I don't know, attraction to the girls lately? Jack finished.
Yes, but I just don't know which one. When they're all together, as they usually are, I feel the same towards each girl, Martin answered.
Honestly, I did not feel anything. Yeah, they were hot, just like any girl I know, Chris said, carrying a glass of water back to where his friends were sitting.
Back to what you said, Martin. When I was alone with Jill in the hospital room, I had a strong attraction to her. Like, if her body wasn't against mine, I would, I don't know, crumble up and die.
Crumble Jack up said. And die? You mean crumble yeah. up and die?
Imagine a 12-year-old writing this!
Jack said, completely ignoring what Chris had said. The boys nodded, but Chris just sat there, not recognizing the feeling Jack described.
And dude, what was that? What was that with Jenna over at your place? Martin said, slapping Felipe on the back. Felipe just shrugged and said,
I don't know. We were both a little drunk and just, I guess we fell into each other.
So is she the one? Jack teased him.
Lay off, dude. I don't know. I kind of, sort of like Brooke too.
Just pick one. You can't have both, bro, Martin said. So this Felipe just shrugged and went to the fridge in Martin's kitchen.
Got any cola? He asked no one in particular.
Hey, I've got an idea. How about we each go on a date with the girls and find which one is meant for us?
Like Love Island.
We had the idea first.
I like it. I'll text Justin, Chris said, whipping out his phone.
But wait, aren't there 4 girls and 5 of us? How are we going to do this, Martin asked.
This
is the
first time we're
trying to tell you. I don't have a single crumb of feeling for any of those girls. Chris almost yelled, his voice raising an octave.
Wait, go back. You have to yell it. Your voice has to raise an octave.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. I don't have a single crumb of feeling for any of those girls. Chris almost yelled, his voice raising an octave. The boys stared wide-eyed at each other until Felipe finally spoke.
Maybe Jill has a hot friend that you could maybe date for a while.
No, it's not the same. It's okay. You guys go out. Have fun. I'll wait for you here.
You sure?
Of course, I'll find my match soon enough.
So who's going to go with who?
Want to draw straws or pull a name out of a hat?
Why are the boys deciding who they're going to go with? The girls have no say in this.
No, the girls don't care. They also like each of them the same way. Yeah.
They want to scientifically find the optimal match, you know?
Let's do that hat thing. Because I have a feeling someone here... What? Quotation marks in the wrong spot. I have a feeling someone here, he looked at Felipe, will be indecisive, said Jack.
Sure, Martin said, picking up a stray piece of paper under the coffee table. This, he split into four pieces and wrote each girl's name in messy script. Then he folded the papers in once, then once more, then put them in a bowl he got from the kitchen. You first, Felipe. Felipe reached his hard into the bowl. Felipe reached his hand into the bowl and pulled out a piece of paper. You guys really should have edited this.
Slowly, he opened it and glanced at the name written on it.
Brooke! He sighed and handed the bowl to Martin on his right. Martin reached into the bowl and pulled a piece of paper out.
Kieran, he said, smiling. The bowl was then handed to Jack.
If I get anyone but Jill, I'll scream, he said and pulled out a piece of paper. Yes, he said when he read the name on it.
Jill? Chris asked. Jack nodded and put the bowl in the middle.
So that leaves Justin with, Jenna, said Chris.
Huh. I just noticed something, Martin said. Jack and Jill went up the hill. Just got him a slap from Jack, but a laugh from his friends.
Slap. Oh boy. We really didn't trust our readers to get Jack and Jill.
Oh yeah, no.
You can definitely see like a 9-year-old girl reading this book.
Back at Jill's house, apartment, the girls were discussing the night's occurrences as well. They tried building Jill's shelf.
Oh yeah! So they dropped off Jill at the hospital and they were all like, you know what, we should go on our date anyway. But instead of going to the date, they rescheduled that, as we know. They went to the mall and then IKEA, where they bought Jill a shelf.
They bought Jill a, sorry, your fiance's in the hospital gift.
Yeah.
Which was a shelf.
Yeah.
The hospital shelf.
They tried building Jill's shelf, but finding it nearly impossible for four non-handyman type girls to build, quit after a few minutes.
Yikes.
We have to call Erica to see if she knows something about this, Jill said.
Oh, Erica.
Well, they're useless.
Yeah. Erica's
Cameron
like
set up an IKEA shelf.
Yeah, I know, right? There's instructions.
Like
there's
a
pictures.
Ukrainian, like a Polish.
No, she has a British accent. And she's Brooke's friend, I think. But we only like met her once and she was in the bathroom like most of the time.
I agree, but there's gotta be millions of Griffins out there in New York. For all we know, he might be from Indonesia, Jenna reasoned.
Oh, Erica's last name is Griffin, that's why I think. I don't think we ever like mentioned that, but do we? Did we skip for it? Like, did they make that connection? They were like, oh, Erica Griffin, Roger Griffin? No. Okay, let's just assume that they did.
For all we know, he might be from Indonesia?
He, like Roger Griffin.
Why are they looking for Roger? I thought they were looking for Erica.
Because Erica's last name is Griffin, and so is Roger's. I think we just kind of skipped a thing.
I don't get it.
Stop being such a know-it-all, Miss Boyfriend Stealer, Brooke said to Jenna.
He's not your boyfriend, Brooke, Jenna shrieked. And he kissed me, not you.
You were snogging him.
Those Harry Potter thing.
did he pull away? No.
I can't stand this. I'm leaving. She fiercely stood up and walked towards the door.
Brooke, stay, Kieran said, pulling Brooke's shirt downwards. Brooke, always giving in to what Kieran said, sat back down. However, this time she sat on the opposite side of Jenna, who stuck her tongue out at her.
Sure.
I still think we should call her, Jill said. Jen, do you have her number?
Here, Jenna said, and tossed her phone to Jill. Bah.
Cool.
You know, I never actually heard someone use the word bah, except for Scrooge in A Christmas Carol.
Isn't that one word?
The girls, even with the tense atmosphere, couldn't help laughing.
Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. Very funny.
555-9334, Jill said, typing the number into her U phone and turned it on speaker mode.
Speaker mode.
Hello? Came an American accented voice from the other end.
Hi, can I talk to Erica? This is Jenna's friend, Jill.
Speaking came the voice, this time speaking with a British accent.
You have to say it.
Hello, Gabna.
Remember me? We met last week at the Love Cafe, she paused.
Well, yes, of
do
course.
I do it? Yeah, do it. Go for it.
Oh, yes, of course. I remember you. What can I do for you? She asked in a British accent of hers.
We want to talk to you about an, she said, searching for the correct word to describe the situation. Incident we had last night. Actually, I feel more comfortable talking to you in person. Can you come over now?
I'm kind of in the middle of, something. Can I come tomorrow?
I'm afraid this cannot wait. It's concerning. A family member of yours paused from the other end, lasted a few minutes, but Erica's voice came back again.
Give me the address. I'll be right over. Jill promptly gave the girl her address and told her she'd be right over.
I wonder what that was about, Brooke began.
You guys want something to drink? Jill asked, standing up.
Coke, please.
Just water. My head is killing me, Jenna said.
Oh, your first hangover. I can't believe it. You're already 23 and you've never been drunk. Brooke teased. Then again, you never kissed anyone's boyfriend before either.
Ooh, lay shots off. Fired.
Lay off, Blondie. He's not your boyfriend, Jenna said sourly. Brooke clenched her jaw and followed Jill into the kitchen.
There's a lot of drinks happening in this book. We're like really interested in what they're drinking.
Also, Jenna had 3 glasses of wine last night.
Oh, no way. Full 3.
Crazy.
Zara, you want to start?
It's a nasty hangover.
15 minutes later, Erica buzzed the building intercom.
Come in, Jill said and pressed the button on the wall. Promptly, Erica came up the elevator looking like she had just woken up.
So you found out, were her first words when she spotted the girls.
That's what we wanted to talk to you about. Take a seat, Jenna said, motioning to the unoccupied armchair in the middle of Jill's living room.
Wait,
Erica
what?
Sat down and turned to face the girls.
Ask away, she said, dropping her fake British accent.
What? Fake British accent?
Fake British accent!
Wow.
First of all, why do you pretend to have a British accent if you really don't? Jill asked.
Actually, it'd be a lot easier if I just told you my story from the beginning, the way it started, she said, and the girls nodded.
Okay, pause.
It's gonna be like story from childbirth.
Yeah, this is gonna be like a very weird. I vaguely remember this, and I remember, oh my god, first of all, what the heck? What did they? She didn't even put up much of a fight.
No.
She just came in and she was like, you found out. And they're like.
Also, wait, what? Yeah? They just jumped to the fact that the Griffith same must be the same Griffith?
But it's like, it's a pretty common last name.
Is it
Griffin?
Griffin. Griffin, sorry.
Like, it's not an uncommon last name.
So they were like, Mark was kidnapped by a Griffin.
Ah.
We yeah. know a Griffin.
Therefore,
we gotta call Erica. Yeah.
Well,
and then Erica suddenly like, wait, I'm not actually British.
Yeah.
But she's going so far back as young, go like, oh, I was born at a very young age.
Yeah, you get a life story here. I remember this being, anyway, I'm not gonna spoil
we
this.
Love
just read it. Just read it. Just.
When I was born,
wait, you're not Erica. Get out of here.
But I'm the next one to
Zara's read. Zara's Erica.
No, I'm Erica. When I was born, my parents were expecting a boy, so I was the disappointment in the family. Me too. So, my parents never treated me well. They beat me, called me names, and yelled almost every day. My parents always ignored me and often went on trips with my younger sister, leaving me alone with a nanny. After a trip to the Amazon, my mother came back a few days earlier with a fiery attitude. I thought and hoped that she had come to save me from my father, but left home and never returned. I hadn't heard her from her since. She stopped to wipe a tear from her eye and then continued.
Wow. Wait, so they have the daughter they hate, but they have another daughter which they take on trips.
Yeah. They like the other daughter.
To the Amazon.
Yeah, yeah. They wanted a second child to be a daughter, but not the first child.
Yes.
So
you know, they just gave up on having the son first. Like,
yeah. It's fine. I guess we can just produce girls, therefore we'll stick with this one. We'll take this one to the Amazon.
My life was solidly bearable until that day. Not long after, my father sent my sister to a boarding school in California. I also had a brother too, but he disappeared at around the same time as my brother. Wait. As my mother? I don't remember his name, or even how old he was, or what happened to him. My father kept me as a servant for our large family history.
Wait,
how does she not know about this brother?
Yeah.
When did the mother disappear? What?
The brother disappeared with the brother. The mother just also disappeared.
Wait, so the mother beat her.
Then disappeared.
But she remembers her mother beating her, but she doesn't remember the son who disappeared when the mother disappeared.
Yeah. But then she remembers her being a servant at the large family estate.
Oh my god.
Interesting, okay.
There, I had to watch as my father drank and eventually became a drug addict. Oh. His addictions cost us our home and all possessions.
Wow.
That's when I decided I've had enough. I was 19 at the time and had secretly gone to get my driver's permit. 19. However, I hadn't been smart enough to change my last name, so now my license still says Erica Griffin. Then, equipped with a car I stole from my father, I ran away from home. However, I did not make it very far when my father noticed the car was missing. Mind you, he noticed the car, then me. He called the police and they tracked me down within 2 hours. They brought me back home and my father was furious. He locked me in the closet of a small cellar that he now called home. Every night, he would come back home drunk and expected me to care for him. Then he told me he had gotten a job as a truck driver and that he did not need me to slow him down. He told me I was free to do as I wish, as long as I don't find him.
Whoa! This is some dark stuff.
Very messed up child.
This is dark.
Wait, so up until she was 19, her mother left, her brother disappeared.
Who she doesn't know, like,
sister went
her
to
sister went to yeah. So they only loved the sister somehow.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Her dad became an alcoholic and drug addict, later truck driver.
What about the servant then?
She was a servant.
For their large
and
family
lost
estate.
All their money.
I don't know,
she tried
cellar.
To run away, but the police found her and brought her back.
Yeah.
And then her father was like, you're free to do as you please.
Yeah, so why did he go through all the trouble? Yeah.
Past 18.
But also he went through all this trouble of like calling the police and getting her back. I guess he wanted the car back. Not her. Yikes.
All right.
So naturally, I ran away and came to live here. I thought I had changed myself enough. He wouldn't recognize me if he ever came looking. So I dyed my hair, used a fake English accent. The only thing I could not change was my license. So far, I've only seen my father in the news, but he still haunts my dreams. By now, Erica was sobbing, and the girls could barely make out her words. Throughout the story, Jenna was nodding her head and gasping every few minutes.
Kind of like we
every
were.
Every few minutes. Like, yeah. This girl's been talking for like 4 minutes, and she's gasped once.
Yes, I think he kidnapped your boyfriend, Jill. Sounds exactly like the thing he would do.
Wait.
So the father came after the boyfriend?
Yeah, the father was a boyfriend kidnapper.
So it's just like
they're
he's like
to forget about the brother part.
Yeah,
like
but also
away.
Like
face.
Wait, they said
he's exactly like her dad. Erica's dad is exactly like Jill's boyfriend, like Mark,
the guy who kidnapped.
No, it's exactly
Mark.
Like.
Oh yeah. It sounds about right. Yeah, he has a habit of going into hospitals and then stealing
boyfriends.
Amnesiac boys.
You know, he's still allowed to, you know, walk around.
Yeah, of course.
He's not in jail.
Also, why did she change her license? Like, isn't it
that's
pretty easy to get a name change?
Back when you're 11, you have no idea that you can get a
license. Exactly.
Yeah, you're
it's
like,
too much
well,
paperwork.
Once you get your license, like, that's it.
That's it, yeah. You dye your hair, you become a new person, yeah.
If one of his earliest drinking stages, in one of his earliest drinking stages, he would bring home random people, stripping them of all the money they had, and one even selling them as servants to upper class families in South America and Asia.
He's a human trafficker, boyfriend kidnapper.
Was this backward slavery?
Yeah. Okay. That was how he earned a living those days, she sobbed.
But how did you Jill began to ask?
It's all over the news. When I heard my father was in the hospital in New York, I knew nothing good would come of it. Brooke stood up to get Erica a tissue.
Do you want to stay the night, Erica? Would that make you feel safer? Jill offered.
I don't know. I don't really want to bother. She began, but Jill shushed her.
No worries. Stay, please. Jill insisted.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. Erica sobbed, hugging Jill.
Don't worry. We're all in this together.
Wow, that's really something.
You're gonna be again.
That's true. Maybe it's okay, I like it.
Don't worry, we're all in this together.
Beautiful. Wow. But wait, so he just like kidnaps people, takes all their money, and then sells them.
For more money. And somehow he's not in jail.
Yeah.
But they know he has a record of kidnapping people.
Yeah. Okay. After each having a coffee, the girls settled down to discuss the other matter at hand, the boys. Let's get to the important stuff. No, I don't care about sob story, whatever. As did the boys, the girls drew names from a jar. That's a bad sentence.
What if they don't get the same names, though?
Yeah,
They take turns.
Kieran was matched with Martin, Jenna was with Justin, Jill was with Felipe, and Brooke was with Jack. Much to their liking, Jill and Brooke switched names.
Wait, so who did they rule out for the boys?
I think they ended up with the same.
I probably is.
Wait, what? So they, yeah, they didn't they pick the fifth boy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what did they do with the fifth boy?
They
what?
Were like, we don't want
isn't like
one.
Justin
yeah.
or someone? Not Justin.
They're like, yeah, he's not into us.
Yeah, he's like, whatever.
I can tell.
No offense, but Felipe is too full of himself for me. He is better for you, Jill said, handing the slip of paper to Brooke.
And Jack's too... I don't know. You. Brooke countered.
Hey, Erica, are you going out with someone presently? Jenna asked. Erica shook her head but answered negatively.
No, but I don't want to get caught up in your matters, she answered.
Oh, we're all friends here. I guess you get... Kieran stuck her hand in the jar. Chris.
Isn't there just one name left? Why does she... doesn't she just know by process of elimination?
They're not that smart.
Erica rubbed the piece of paper in her hands, turning it over and over. Where had she seen this name before? And how did she know it?
Chris?
Yeah.
Chris Martin.
Probably Chris Martin, the cold place.
Or Chris Jenner, because both a K.
Fair enough.
Wow. All right.
So that's only one Chris
in the world. That's the end of chapter 19.
Yeah.
This is chapter 20 on Tuesday, July 4th at 5:05 p.m.
Happy Independence Day.
Hey, Jill, this is Jack, and I was wondering if you, would like to, go to, Love Cafe with, me on, Friday, coming back. Jack Humbucker hung up the phone. That was harder than I thought, he said to his friends. Yeah, Love Cafe with a U. L-U-V.
Love Cafe. Love Cafe. Wait, is off-brand Starbucks.
L-U-V.
Oh. It's just, why? I don't know. It sounds like an adult shop, you know?
Yeah, it does not. Yes, that's.
I feel like Love Cafe sounds like something else, but it's okay.
Exactly.
It was a cloudy Tuesday afternoon with an 80% chance of showers when the boys met at Jack's house to discuss more about the current girl problem they were having.
Yep.
It was a few days after the kidnap fiasco, and the boys had decided to meet again, as had the girls.
Okay.
They decided to ask the girls out all on the same day and a few days before so they could not make more plans and one wouldn't be lonely, thus another would stay home.
That's a weird sentence.
Two lonely girls on a Friday night were a target for gangs and could easily be beat up or worse. Chris came up with this idea, even though this had never actually happened to him, he wasn't willing to take the chance of someone he or his friends liked.
What?
My turn, Felipe said, and pressed the number 6 on his phone.
Dude, you have her on speed dial? Martin asked.
Shut up, Felipe replied as the phone began to ring.
Ring, 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 ring.
Okay. Keep going, Felipe.
Hey, Brooke, it's Felipe, he said. Great, really? I was thinking about you too. I was wondering, do you want to go to the movies with me on Friday? Cool. I know this really awesome place. Sure, I'll pick you up at 5. See you.
The movie theater?
He clicked his phone off and turned to Jack. Piece of cake, he said, and tossed his phone playfully at Jack.
Crap. Also, sorry, this is like a weird time before like everyone had smartphones. So like half of the boys, or half of all the characters, they have U phones, the other half have flip phones. So sometimes they'll like snap it shut or like flip it open. Yeah.
Crap, why did I keep doing that? Jack said, throwing the controls of his PlayStation on the ground.
Black Ops, Felipe said, finally noticing what the other boys were doing. Didn't wait for an answer as he stood up to check out the little box beside the TV. The new PlayStation? How'd you get it? It's not due out for another month, he asked. He asked this in a form of a question, expecting an answer. Jack shrugged and simply replied,
so you can't use iPhone, but you can use PlayStation?
Yeah, apparently.
There's so many, semicolons in that.
Oh yeah, we love semicolons. Semicolons and like dashes, oh, so good.
He then pressed the pause button, just as Chris shot a bullet through his player's chest.
Wait, what?
Black Ops.
We don't know anything about Black Ops.
Yeah.
That's, what? 200-0? God, Jack, what's up with you? Is Jill really getting to your head? Chris nudged him, also dropping his remote on the floor. Who's calling next? He asked no one in particular, then walked awkwardly to the mini fridge Jack kept in his room. He popped open a can of Coke and took a sip.
Caffeine, sweet caffeine, he said and sat back on Jack's bed.
Jack Jack's master bedroom was fully stocked with video game consoles, a 40-inch wall-mounted plasma TV, a full mini-fridge, a queen-size bed, even though he was the only one who lived in the apartment, a brand new Apple computer, and exactly 200 video games for his various consoles.
Exactly.
When Jack's uncle passed away a few years ago, Jack had inherited a close to $400 million in furniture.
What?
Oh, $4 million.
Clothes. $4 million.
$4 million.
That's a lot of furniture.
Still, like, $4 million worth of furniture.
That's a lot of IKEA.
CDs.
Yeah.
Having no use for the ancient artifacts, he sold
So you misspelled artifacts.
Artifacts.
Artifacts. There's a bunch of artifacts.
Artifacts.
Having no use for the ancient artifacts, he sold most of them online, earning enough money to buy an apartment on Fifth Avenue and the most expensive things a 20-year-old like him could want.
Whoa.
Way to splurge.
Only for $4 million?
Yeah, what?
I'll call Kira next, Martin said. While he called, Chris's phone began to ring.
Probably my little sister, asking for a drive to the mall or something. I'll be right back. Having no caller ID, he had no idea if it was really his sister or someone else. He walked into Jack's extravagant bathroom to take the call.
Back in Jack's room, the boys were listening to Martin's conversation.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Do you want to come back to my uncle's restaurant Friday night? Great. I'll pick you up at 6. See you, he said. It wasn't that hard, Jack. It's not like you're talking to, like, the president, where you go, and every minute. Martin teased Jack, who punched him on the arm. Take a pill, dude, he said, and rubbed his arm.
No, take a pill. Not just a pill. Just any pill. What? Any pill would work.
I'm gonna punch you so hard, you'll need Advil to feel better.
Then Chris walked into the room. I think I found a date for Friday night, he said, wide-eyed.
With who, dude? Felipe asked, still not believing.
Erica Griffin, he replied simply and collapsed on the couch.
He just fainted. Wow. End of chapter.
He answered a call and he was like, hello, is this my sister? And she was like, no, this is Erica Griffin. Maybe the last time you heard of me, I had a British accent, but now I don't. Do you want to go on a date? And he's like, I've never seen you in my life, but okay.
I picked up an American accent real quick.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Very confusing.
So that was great.
So we want to say thank you to all of our wonderful guests this lovely camping extravaganza episode.
Yeah, thank you for joining us for part one of our camping extravaganza. We took it back to the OG spot where this whole idea was concocted. Yeah, it was nice reminiscing about our younger, more naive days when we thought we would become best-selling authors.
It was also cool to get some voices that are not ours reading these characters, and pretty funny to see people's reactions when Erica's story came out, when, you know, the boys pulled names out of a hat, etc. So it was exciting to share the shenanigans with them.
Yeah, the general consensus was that this was a dumpster fire. But I think we all had fun.
My favorite was Hans's observation that this would probably be a book for teens.
Yep. Yep. He was like, yeah, I can see a 12-year-old girl reading this. I was like, yeah, I'll take that. Thank
That's
you.
Who wrote it. I mean.
Written by 12-year-olds for 12-year-olds.
So yeah, awesome. Thanks for joining us for part one. And we eagerly await part two coming next week.
Yeah, see you then.